So this go back to 1926. 26. Towards the end of the first year of my novitiate, darkness began to cast its shadow over my soul. I felt no consolation in prayer. I had to make a great effort to meditate. Fear began to sweep over me. Going deeper into myself, I could find nothing but great misery. I could also clearly see the great holiness of God. I did not dare to raise my eyes to Him, but reduced myself to dust under His feet and begged for mercy. My soul was in this state for almost 6 months. Our beloved Mother Directress encouraged me to in these difficult moments, but this suffering became greater and greater. So remind us that today we received the ashes. So Sister Faustina must always have this joy of seeing Jesus, but she suffered really. So we share. The second year of the novitiate was approaching. Whenever I recalled that I was to make my vows, my soul shuddered. I did not understand what I was reading. I could not meditate. It seemed to me that my prayer was displeasing to God. It seemed to me that by approaching the Holy Sacraments, I was offending God even more. But despite this, my confessor did not let me omit one single Holy Communion. God was working very strangely in my confessor and telling me, the simple truths of the faith became incomprehensible. My soul was in anguish, unable to find comfort anywhere. At a certain point, there came to me the very powerful impression that I am rejected by God. These terrible thoughts pierced my soul right through. In the midst of the suffering, my soul began to experience the agony of death. I wanted to die, but could not. The thoughts came to me, of what use is it to strive for virtues? Why mortify oneself when all this is disagreeable to God? When I made this known to the directress of novices, I received this reply, "No, sister, that God has chosen you for great sanctity. This is a sign that God wants to have you very close to Him in heaven. Have great trust in the Lord Jesus." So in the novices already, the trust already preparing him, preparing her. It's not only Jesus appeared to her in the divine mercy, but you know, through a confessor and through the spiritual directress. The dreadful thought of being rejected by God is actual torture suffered by the damned. I fled to Jesus' wounds and repeated the words of trust, but these words became for me an even greater torture. I went before the Blessed Sacrament and I began to speak to Jesus. "Jesus, you said that a mother would sooner forget her infant than God his creature, and that even if she would forget her infant, I, God, will never forget my creature. Oh Jesus, do you hear how my soul is mourning? Dying to hear the painful whimpers of your child. I trust in you, O God, because heaven and earth will pass, but your word will last forever." Still, I found not a moment of relief. So even at times we just only one part of prayer and then finish the suffering. It's not. One day, as I had awakened, when I was putting myself in the presence of God, I was suddenly overwhelmed by despair, complete darkness in the soul. I fought as best I could till noon. In the afternoon, truly, deadly fears began to seize me. My physical strength began to leave me. I went quickly to my cell, fell on my knees before the crucifix, and began to cry out for mercy. But Jesus did not hear my cries. I felt my physical strength leave me completely. I fell to the ground, despair flooding my whole soul. I suffered terrible tortures, in no way different from the torture, from the torments of hell. I was in a state of, for 3/4 of an hour. I wanted to go and see the directress, but was too weak. I wanted to shout, but had no voice. Fortunately, one of the sisters came into my cell, finding me in such a strange condition. She immediately told the directress about it. But it came at once. As soon as she entered the cell, she said, "In the name of holy obedience, get up from the ground." Immediately, some force raised me up from the ground, and I stood up close to the dear Mother Directress. With kind words, she began to explain to me that this was a trial sent to me by God, saying, "Have great confidence. God is always our Father, even when He sends us trials." So, there is, if you have so much trials of life, listen to her. God is always, have confidence, God is always our Father, even when He sends us trials. I returned to my duties as if I had come out from the tomb. My senses saturated with what my soul had experienced. During the evening service, my soul began to agonize again in the terrible darkness. I felt that I was in the power of the just God, that I was the object of His indignation. During these terrible moments, I said to God, "Jesus, who in the gospel compare yourself to a most tender mother, I trust in your words because you are truth and life. In spite of everything, Jesus, I trust in you in the face of every interior sentiment which sets itself against hope. Do what you want with me. I will never leave you because you are the source of my life." Even in darkness, even feeling low hope, she finds hope, just really hope, and no feeling. She can feel the presence of God. Only one who has lived through similar moments can understand how terrible is this torment of the soul. Sister, do you ever pass through this? Did you, sister? Confidential. Okay. I think one way or another, there's kind of feeling. During the night, the Mother of God, have visited me, holding even Jesus in her arms. My soul was filled with joy, and I said, "Mary, my mother, do you know how terrible I suffer?" And the Mother of God answered me, "I know how much you suffer, but do not be afraid. I share with you your suffering, and I shall always do so, so don't worry. I have any mother, stay with us. She smiled warmly and disappeared. At once, strength and a great courage sprang up anew in my soul. But then after only one day, it seems as if though hell had conspired against me, a terrible hatred began to break out in my soul, a hatred for all that is holy and divine. See, it's a hell against all holiness. It seemed to me that these spiritual torments would be my lot for the rest of my life. I turned to the Blessed Sacrament and said to Jesus, "Jesus, my spouse, do you not see that my soul is dying because of its longing for you? How can you hide yourself from a heart that loves you so sincerely? Forgive me, Jesus. May your holy will be done in me. I will suffer silently like a dove without complaining. I will not allow to my heart even one single cry of sorrowful complaint." One hand, she's really feel despaired. On the other hand, still, "Jesus, I trust in you." You know, that's her grace. End of the novitiate. The suffering does not diminish. Physical weakness dispenses me from all community exercises. That is to say, they are replaced by brief ejaculation prayer. Good Friday, April 16, 1928, Jesus catches up my heart into the very flame of his love. This was during the evening adoration. All of a sudden, the divine presence invaded me. I forgot everything else. Jesus gave me to understand how much he had suffered for me. This lasted a very short time, an intense yearning, a longing to love God. First vows. First profession of temporary vows, April 30th, 1928. An ardent desire to empty myself of God by an active love, but a love that would be imperceptible, even to the sisters closest to me. However, even after the vows, darkness continued to reign my soul for almost half a year. Once when I was praying, Jesus pervaded all my soul. Darkness melted away, and I heard these words within me: "You are my joy. You are my heart's delight." From that moment, I felt the most holy Trinity in my heart. That is to say, within myself. I felt that I was inundated with divine light. Since then, my soul has been in intimate communion with God, like a child with his beloved Father. So the preparation is not easier. She felt hell in her soul and no hope. Praying, asking, prostrate on the ground, to no avail. Can you imagine? It's not that once then she can experience. Very interesting, eh? It's a mystery of life. So don't complain all the time. "Why, Jesus, why don't you have me?" Once Jesus told me, "Go to Mother Superior and ask her to let you wear a hair shirt for 7 days. And once each night, you are to get up and come to the chapel." What's a hair shirt? For inside clothes? Yeah. The inside, yeah. Now you see. Once Jesus told me, "Go to Mother Superior and ask her to let you wear a hair shirt for 7 days. And once each night, you are to get up and come to the chapel." I said, "Yes." But I found a certain difficulty in actually going to the superior. In the evening, Jesus asked me, "How long will you put it off? No, sorry. How long will you put it off?" I made up my mind to tell Mother Superior the very next time I would see her. The next day, before noon, I saw Mother Superior going to the refectory. And since the kitchen, refectory, and Sister Alicia's little room are all close to each other, I asked Mother Superior to come into Sister Alicia's room and told her of the wish of the Lord Jesus. At that, Mother answered, "I will not permit you to wear any hair shirt. Absolutely not. If the Lord Jesus were to give you the strength of a colossus, I would then permit those modifications." I apologized for taking up Mother's time and left the room. At that very moment, I saw Jesus standing at the kitchen door, and I said to him, "You commanded me to ask for these modifications, but Mother Superior will not permit them." Jesus says, "I was here during your conversation with the Superior and know everything. I don't demand modification from you, but obedience. By obedience, you give great glory to me and gain merit for yourself." So it's a trial. Go to Mother Superior first and ask something stupid. So she's so simple. If it was me, I might not ask the stupid thing to the Superior. But Jesus asked you to do. So you have to obey Jesus first of all. And then you obey the Superior. You see, this is obedience. Not only obey to Jesus. Jesus wants her to obey to the Superior. It's fantastic, eh? One of the mothers, when she learned about my close relationship with the Lord Jesus, told me that I must be deluding myself. She told me that the Lord Jesus associates in this way only with the saints, not with sinful souls. My goodness. "Like you, sister." That's another superior. Mother Jane, she called the name. After that, it was as if I mistrust Jesus. In one of my morning talks with Jesus, I said, "Jesus, are you not an illusion?" Jesus answered me, "My love deceives no one." On one occasion, I was reflecting on the Holy Trinity, on the essence of God. I absolutely wanted to know and fathom my God, who God is. In an instant, my spirit was caught up into what seemed to be the next world. I saw an inaccessible night. And in this light, what appeared like three sources of light, which I could not understand. And out of that night came words in the form of lightning, which encircled heaven and earth. Not understanding anything, I was very sad. Suddenly, from this sea of inaccessible light came our dearly beloved Savior, unutterably beautiful with his shining wounds. And from this light came a voice said, "Who God is? In his essence, no one will fathom, neither the mind of angels nor of men." Jesus said to me, "Get to know God by contemplating his attributes." A moment later, he traced the sign of the cross with his hand and vanished. What's attributes? He said, "Who God is in his essence, no one will fathom, neither his the mind of angels nor of men." No one understand essence of God. Get to know God by contemplating his attributes. Attributes. What's that? qualities: mercy, love, kindness, all these beautiful things. Once I saw a big crowd of people in our chapel, in front of the chapel and in the street, because there was no room for them inside. The chapel was decorated for a feast. There was a lot of clergy near the altar, and then our sisters and those of many other congregations. They were all waiting for the person who was to take a place on the altar. Suddenly I heard a voice saying that I was to take the place on the altar. Isn't it? You couldn't take the place on the altar. But as soon as I felt the corridor to go across the yard and enter the chapel, following the voice that was calling me, all the people began to throw at me whatever they had at hand. Mud, stones, sand, brooms, to such an extent that I felt that I at first hesitated to go forward. But the voice kept on calling me even more earnestly, so I walked on bravely. So there's a voice calling her to the chapel, and the people is fighting against her, and she has to go ahead. When I entered the chapel, the superiors, the sisters, the students, and even my parents started to hit me with whatever they could. And so whether I wanted or not, I quickly took my place on the altar. She's very simple. If the wise asked her, go to the chapel, the altar, she just do it. As soon as I was there, there were the same people, the students, the sisters, the superiors, and my parents, all began to hold their arms out to me, asking for graces. And as for me, I did not bear any grudge against them for having thrown all sorts of things at me. And I was surprised that I felt a very special love precisely for those persons who had forced me to go more quickly to my appointed place. The first time, my soul was filled with ineffable happiness, and I heard this word: do whatever you wish, distribute graces as you will, to whom you will and when you will. Then suddenly the vision disappeared. So you can imagine, before she got the grace, she got all the people against her, I think. But she forgive, and still giving the grace. And she is now the secretary of Jesus' divine mercy on earth and in heaven. So we pray hard to her, ask her how special grace that we can have that kind of simplicity, obedience, humility, and trust. And we will have the relics of Sister Faustina after the first Sunday of Easter. We will invite her back this year to stay with us for 1 month. So we will walk close to her.